opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. Hey, it is the 7th of October, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, good morning. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Throughout the world, at least I think we are, is the stream up and running. Yes! Another day of happiness. And today, of course, being
October 7th.
Hump day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to hear the camel. Because you know what? We're so tired of, well, everything is not politically correct. So let's just, why don't we just hump on the back of that? Hey, today will be hazy with a high of 91 and overnight lows of 53. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 81, overnight lows of 51. And mostly sunny on Friday, with our highs of 78 and overnight lows of 53. Chance of showers 50% according to the National Weather Service on, Friday night. And Saturday looks like a chance of showers and mostly cloudy with 48. Mostly sunny on Sunday, and the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated with senior and veteran discounts. And I want to make an announcement that I was scheduled to sing at the club, Riverview Country Club, with my jazz group on October 10th. Now, this is something that was scheduled September 11th. And because of the fires and COVID, it was rescheduled to, I just threw a date out there, October 10th, and thought, you know, I love October. It's my favorite time to be outside, and it's just beautiful fall weather. Well, yesterday they called me, and I just want to let you know that was canceled. Due to it could be raining, and the other very importantly in there is that, because of COVID and we're in the red zone, I guess that constitutes only 25%.
Yeah, the drops that we get. We went into the COVID red.
COVID red.
At noon
yesterday. I call it code red, but anyway, COVID red. And you can sit outside, but if chance it rains, then they would be limited to only 25% in the indoor seating. So, you know, we're just, again, we're going through strange times. I talked to my musicians yesterday. So many gigs, the Marine Corps Ball, so many things have been canceled.
Since you mentioned that, the City of Shasta Lake Veterans Day Parade was canceled officially yesterday.
Okay, all right.
Thanks for reminding me.
They are planning on, of course, we had Enjoy Magazine on Monday. They're going to have that drive-through pumpkin carving October, I think that's, I don't know the dates. We've got to look at the Enjoy ad, but that's happening in October. But that's like a drive-thru. So that's going to be going on. Celebratory things in that nature with drive-bys. And also, again, where you can social distance. They are planning at the Turtle Bay Arboretum to do those beautiful Christmas lights. It's going to be like a multi-million dollar display. And I'm sure we'll have many people traveling through, just like Shasta Lake did this year, that are traveling through, that are going to see this wonderful lighting display. We'll have to have Turtle Bay come on and talk to you about it more, tell our listeners more about that. I think launches the day after Thanksgiving.
Well, you know what? Ryan Odo, who is at Turtle Bay, was our point of contact, is moving on.
Is he?
Yeah, and his replacement is going to be, we're going to meet him very soon. I believe his name's David. And guess where Ryan's going?
Where?
Texas. And so what I said to Ryan was, look, Ryan, do not be concerned when you get to the Texas state line and there's a big, big traffic congestion, traffic jam. And he said, there is? I said, oh, yeah. I said, you have to get in line with all these thousands of Californians that are running to Texas right now, and you're one of them.
Well,
they say remember the Alamo. We should say, remember when California was something?
Well,
can you say that?
Tonight. I don't know. I still think that California.
California, you know what? California is
something. It's
something.
I just, we live here.
It has everything.
I mean, yesterday I Zoomed with Armando. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was talking over you. Monday at 10 o'clock, the former gold diggers, okay, one lives in Greece, one has moved from California to Texas, one moved from California to Chicago to take care of her elderly parent, one lives in L.A., two live in Palm Springs that were formerly in L.A. And so we Zoomed Monday, and of course, my girlfriend from Greece who lives on Ikaria, which is where the oldest people in the world live on this island.
Their average age is the oldest in the world.
Right. Okay. Right. And so anyway, healthy living, they have had no outbreaks whatsoever on that island.
None. And there, a lot of their income comes from tourists. So
yes,
you can imagine what that's done. It's kind of, kind of cut themselves off that way.
And they're seriously sheltering.
But they're seriously healthy.
Yeah, they're seriously healthy, healthy and sheltering. Anyway, my point being is that while I was talking to everybody, they were asking me about, the state of affairs with the fires. And today I texted them all, or emailed them early this morning and said that there's been so many millions of acres that have burned in California. But I love Redding, and I don't see where else, at this stage of my life, I don't see my future living in another state at this point. I haven't got the bug to move. I guess it's Carl and I are, we're boots on the ground, if you know what I mean, and we're just going to stay here. So according to the headlines this morning, Carl, one of the headlines, the majority of Americans believe country is on verge of civil war. 56 expect violence after Election Day.
Well, there's a – okay, let me just say
this. It's a headline.
Well, it's USA Today.
I'm telling
and their
you it's
whole
a
thing – you know, USA Today is slid.
Well, I'm telling you what –
slid into just, the – you know what? I read USA Today every day, only because I like to get the other side of hysteria and craziness.
Well, tonight will be hysteria and craziness.
You know what? That headline is wrong. Read the headline again.
Okay, majority of Americans believe country is on verge of civil war.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Civil war. Now read the second part.
56% expect a violence after Election Day.
Okay, there is a big difference between violence after Election Day that you'll see in Portland and probably some of the big cities. Do you think you're going to see the violence in Redding?
Then,
no, wait a minute. But when you say the word civil war, that means that people are actively taking up arms against each other, and this country is divided again. That headline is nothing but clickbait.
It flans the fames. No, it is just clickbait
because
underneath it, it says one poll of nearly 2,000 registered voters found that near half, 47%, disagree with the idea that the election is, quote, is likely to be fair and honest.
Well, I think that there's a lot of questions, especially when they're pushing for, the fact of absentee balloting has been with us since the Civil War. But the idea of millions of ballots trying to come back through the mail, it just leaves itself open to millions of people. I mean, literally millions of people whose votes won't be counted. In Shasta County, you can vote by mail, or you can just drop it off, or you can vote that day. And what they do here in Shasta County is they look at every signature because they can. However, in L.A., as our county clerk told us, they have to rely on a software system that has not been vetted. Now, do you don't think somebody has gotten into that? Not that L.A. hasn't gone heavy blue for years. If it went heavy red this year, you might say somebody's been in the software. But the difference in it, I mean, nobody is looking at these mail-in ballots. And that, to me, is wrong.
So tonight is the
tonight
vice.
Is the night.
90 minutes of a debate. And I think this will be civil tonight. I really do.
I think it'll be a lot more civil.
Yes.
At least quieter than it could be uncivil. But I think it'll be a lot quieter. I think they will follow the rules. I think people will go and say, okay, okay, Mr. Trump, Mr. Biden, look at them. Look at the way they did it. Kamala has a lot of questions to answer. And
well,
and Mike Pence, not so much.
Well, I kind of disagree with that, and being that with the COVID-19 breakout in the White House,
yeah,
many would argue with the fact that when people go around in mass gatherings like that, when you have a COVID epidemic, and that's kind of irresponsible behavior. Not masking in a mass group like that. I mean, seating next to each other. You can't have weddings. You can't gather in a church. You can't do many things, but you're all together for something like that. So a lot of people are disgusted with that. So that's something that she can nail him on with the administration, like their lack of following protocol. And I think that's going to take a front seat tonight.
Well, I think also they're going to be asking about Kamala Harris, because remember, the majority, if you listen to polls, the majority of Democrats even believe that Joe Biden, if he wins, will not be there for 4 years. So who you're voting for, and I've had Democratic friends agree with this, I said, well, then you're really voting for Kamala Harris. And they said yes. They didn't like it, but they know that she will probably take, if Biden wins, she will probably take over during his 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. He's a placeholder. So you are voting for Kamala Harris and the, you know, and her thoughts on packing the Supreme Court, which she refuses to answer,
mm-hmm.
on doing away with the filibuster, which she refuses to answer, about her statements on the New Green Deal, doing away with combustion engines and going, carbon free by 2035, and the impact it's going to have on our economy, on people's lives. She needs to answer that. She needs to answer for the fact that she would not condemn the violence from Antifa. I hope it's brought up.
Well,
and she should answer the fact that why did Hunter Biden's company get $3.5 million from the mayor's wife of Moscow? That Joe Biden said that's been proved to be a falsehood. No, it hasn't. The FBI has thrown it out. No, they got the money. But see, she can't answer that because it's not her son. But Joe Biden refuses to answer it. And the mainstream media refuses to push him on it.
Well, when we come back, let's talk more about some of the topics I think that are going to be covered tonight. You're listening to our Wednesday edition of Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show is brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof, helping families, veterans, and seniors. It's 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for state senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 142-3306.
Did you know that every day in the state of California, 10,000 people turn 65 years old? Yep, 10,000 every day. and the resources needed to allow you or your senior parents to be happy and healthy during these special years can be complicated at best. So where do you begin to find the local resources you may need? ReadingSeniorSource.com. This is an online senior resource directory which will connect you with everything from Medicare supplemental insurance assistance, senior transportation, estate planning attorneys, home care agencies, assisted living communities, and hundreds more. This directory has been a labor of love created by me, Mary Ann Seifert, owner of Mary Ann Senior Placement Services. I have over two decades of experience assisting seniors in our community and saw a need for resources to be accessible by everyone. Just go to ReadingSeniorSource.com. That's ReadingSeniorSource.com.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Yes, it's hump day, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk
Why
radio.
Why do we still get a kick? I get a kick out of that. I don't
because
know.
Because I picture the camel walking through the office and everybody going, oh, gosh, here it is.
My favorite part is Mike.
Don't you, haven't you known somebody like that in school or just a friend still that it's
Jared,
just like,
Jared
you
comes
may
in here.
Roll your eyes and go, oh, what happened, Jared? Jared, we love Jared, but he did come in and kind of nail you.
Call. Not everybody thinks that Pence will, or not Pence, but Biden, it will not make it through his 4 years. And I went, you're right. And then when I went, you're right. Kind of like hump day.
Right.
You know, so, and it's true. Not I
and even Trump.
I'm not wishing anything bad on Joe Biden.
No.
I would never do that. I mean,
Trump.
The man served his country for 47 years. I disagree with his politics, and what I'm saying is a lot of people, because of his age, and frankly, when you hit your 70s, things start to slow down. Okay, but he's 70, almost 78, and this is a tough job. And you know what? I would pray that if he gets elected, he does make it through his 4 years. Yes, of course. But you've also got to look at the fact that maybe because of the pressures of this job and everything else, that he might not make it through his 4 years. Of course, I want him to, and I wouldn't wish. And just like I want Trump to make it through his 4 years. He's got like 60 days left, you know. But when Trump wins, that he goes for his next 4 years. So I don't want people to think that I don't want them to. But we have something right here in town I need to talk about. They were asking me if I was going to talk about the there's two things I want to hit in this last well, I don't know. I'm thinking that we're having a guest at 7:30 because I invited that person you wanted me to ask. I haven't heard back yet.
Oh, okay. I'm going to look that up because I'm sure.
You might want to ask them.
Yeah, I have to look it up because I saw that.
One, we went back to condition red as of noon yesterday. Fewer seats in the restaurants, bars closed, et cetera, et cetera. We've had this spiking of COVID for whatever reason, you know, over 60 cases in the Windsor nursing home. Out of that, they've had seven have died from the nursing home, according to the Record Searchlight, and they believe that seven more may pass away. They said Bethel has had over 123 cases, but it's not just those groups. You know, there's been there's been a spike in the cases. So we went back to condition red, which indeed it changes things again. What bothers me is we're closing restaurants down based on some kind of theory that you can catch it from other people, but it's not based on science. You know, why isn't the science able to tell us? Because it should be able to. Where did you get this? Did you get it at Cleary's? You know, restaurant, or did you get it at the Country Kitchen, or did you get it at C.R. Gibbs? See, they're shutting down these restaurants. They're cutting back on their ability to do their jobs, even maybe to stay open. Can you stay open at 25% if you don't have outdoor dining, which means you can put more people out there? But indoor dining is down to 25%. Can Sweeties make it on 25% of their tables? And there lies the problem. Can you trace back spikes coming from restaurants? Or is it from gatherings? Or is it from, you know, we've had gatherings of thousands of people and nothing's happened. So now the schools are back in, you know, so Bethel has, they said, 123 cases. And then the Windsor, the nursing home, once it gets into the nursing home, it's horrible, first of all, that it got in. But then it sweeps through there. It got, you know, 40 or 50 people of the nursing home plus 20 of the staff. Anyway, now, the other thing I wanted to talk about was yesterday the Board of Supervisors was put under citizen's arrest, it appears. Yes, that's true.
Let's hear about
I saw it on I saw it on YouTube. I've got several emails, Facebook pages, but Richard Gallardo went up to speak to the Board of Supervisors yesterday and put them under citizen's arrest for not opening up the Board of Supervisors meetings, for going back and challenging the fact that every 30 to 60 days the state of emergency has to be reinstated, and it hasn't been. So he used his 3 minutes, and he wasn't quite finished, so two sheriff's deputies escorted him out. So if you go to our Facebook page at Free Fire Radio, you can see what happened yesterday. Now, what happens? All of them have been served with these citizens' arrest papers, and now it goes to the district attorney to see if she wants to see what she's going to do. Now, I did my part. I wrote an email to Joe Comente and offered him the card that Tom Basenko gave me that will get him an extra bologna sandwich when he goes to jail. Okay? And wait a minute. I had two cards. One was for a bologna sandwich, right?
Yeah.
An extra bologna sandwich.
Uh-huh.
The second one was for an extra blankie. So, Joe, you let me know when you want those cards. I'll be more than happy to give them to you. So you'll get that extra bologna sandwich and the extra blankie down at the Shasta County Jail. Now, I don't know what's going to happen on this. But this world has been weird. We have to say this world has been weird. So I don't know if we should start a bake sale how about this? Bake sale for bail.
Well,
a bake sale for bail for the Board of Supervisors.
Only
what do you
if
think?
You don't touch it, bro. All right, coming back, we're going to talk to Michelle Irvine. It's going to be great to hear about what's going on with the Cascade.
We have to do a live.
Yes,
we are going to,
but when we come back after the break. But this portion of the show is brought to you by
Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Hey, you know what? We're right in the middle of the open enrollment for your health insurance. You need to take a look. Have you got the best insurance? What should you do during this time frame? We've been hearing again horror stories about people with the California program. They only pay $5 a month, but guess what? Their deductible is $16,000. So other people that have got there are much better plans out there, my friends. Listen to what Judy Maxwell has to say. Not only that, but after these fires, how about your fire insurance? How about your homeowner's insurance? Because I guarantee you, they will start canceling, the insurance companies will start canceling areas out here. Judy Maxwell can help you. Give her a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back with the Cascade Theater.
I am Steve Morgan, and I'm running for re-election to the Board of Supervisors to represent the citizens of District 4 and Shasta County. My record of trust, integrity, commitment, and proven leadership is a foundation of my service. With my leadership, we have maintained a balanced budget. I will continue to work hard and advocate for Shasta County taxpayers, businesses, and public safety. I am committed to expanding economic prosperity to create and keep jobs. I believe law enforcement agencies and first responders are paramount for our county. As a Vietnam veteran, I am committed to supporting our military and veterans. My conservative approach to budgeting, support for industry and business, and commitment to a safe and healthy community earned me endorsements from the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce, District Attorney Stephanie Bridget, Reading Firefighters, Sheriff Eric Magrini, former Sheriff Tom Basinko, and Sheriff Pope, Operating Engineers Local 3, Sierra Pacific Industries, and many local leaders and business owners. I'd be honored to receive your vote. Paid for by the committee to re-elect Steve Morgan for Supervisor 2020.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. 7:34 in the morning, and it is, what is the temperature right now?
Well, today we're going to be, our highs today will be about 91. Our overnight lows will be 53. We have hazy skies today as we progress. 81 tomorrow, partly sunny, mostly sunny on Friday. And then Saturday is calling for a chance of showers. According to the National Weather Service, it looks like it's about 50% chance of showers. And Saturday as well. So let's hope that happens. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. You know, we bank there as well. It's common, community-oriented, dedicated team of professionals all over the place. They're great. And they have branches serving Shasta and Tehama County. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. We're very excited about our guest being with us this morning because we just feel like we've been out of theater land for so long. We've been in La La Land sounds like it's nice. We've been in the land of the unknown. And with us this morning from the Cascade Theater, the general manager is our very own Michelle Irvine. Yay! Applause, applause.
We haven't heard applause in a long time, so thank you for that.
We got to get some canned applause in there. All right, so
thank you, everyone. I feel better now.
So you've got a matching campaign. So you emailed and reached out and said the McConnell Foundation has granted you $5,000.
They have, and then they are also doing a matching challenge. They will give us, they will match up to another $5,000 for dollar. So if our community brings in, you know, $5,000 for us, they will match that. So that actually turns out to be a nice chunk of change to help us.
Let's talk about, because we all know that would be like, you know, a lot of times things that are, like you think of the Cascade Theater, unless you've really been behind the scenes, it's a block building and you go to the show. But the mechanics of what it is to keep it up and running and clean and booking for next year with the anticipation, like, for instance, Boss Gags was supposed to be here in May, then he was scheduled to October, and now he's on the books for next May. As many acts throughout the country are being rescheduled. What does it take for a day for the theater of the Cascade ilk to open on a daily basis, to just stay functioning?
More than people would think. Right now, it's just Todd and I. Everybody else has sort of been furloughed. We're certainly hoping to bring everybody mm-hmm. back, but right now, we're just working half-time. We come in, you know, we do a little paperwork, you know, check box office, not that there's been a lot going on, unfortunately.
Check the box office. That must not take very long.
No, that would be me which now. I've had to learn that. Thank you very much.
Which is a shame. And here's the other thing. When you furlough people for this long, a lot of them have gone out and gotten other jobs.
And that could happen. That definitely
you hope that
could
doesn't
happen. Yeah, I mean, you know, Bethany, we would love to have her back. She's amazing, but
she is amazing.
She has to do what she has to do.
Right.
So I don't know.
She has to make a living.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're hopeful, but okay. You know, we come in, you know, our staff, when we first shut down, came in and did a lot of cleaning, touch up painting.
Right.
Clean the chandeliers, you know, right. You just don't realize what a pain that is, well, and those don't get done very often.
No, because what kind of ladders, what do you have to get, how do you
can
even
you
get
bring
up
them
there?
Down?
The really big ones actually lower, takes okay. them a while, but yeah, and then the littler ones we have to get up and clean.
Right.
So we use staff to do that while we could.
Right.
You know, we got the PPP loan,
yeah,
you know,
right.
payroll
paycheck
protection, which got us through till the end of June, and
yeah.
then nothing. So basically at that point, everybody was furloughed except Todd and
right.
I.
So this is why it's important. This is just another, organization, our lovely Cascade Theater that's been hit by these shutdowns like many other theater companies. And it's our community that supports the Cascade Theater and the McConnell Foundation, we know, has really been so generous with our community throughout the years, and especially now. I mean, every time I turn around, the McConnell has granted something. So it's wonderful that they've donated and then matching another $5,000, which really, really helps to stretch through these times.
We've been, yeah, that's a lot of what I spend my time on is, you know, applying for grants. And that is not something I've ever done a lot of before. We've always had a development person, and that's what that person does. And that's never been me. But now I'm box office, I'm development, you know. So I am learning how to write grants, and I'm happy to say that we've gotten a few.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Community Foundation of the North State, we got a COVID-19 grant for $10,000 just recently.
Right.
So that certainly helps. And we also got a small grant from them on their previous round of stuff to get some stuff for the theater, the plexi partitions, and electrostatic disinfecting sprayers, so that we're ready to reopen and we can do some things. Basically, you have to be able to sterilize everything very quickly in between stuff. And so we have all that in place. We just need something to do.
Right.
We need something to bring in now.
Right. So, you know, when we talk about just the expense of when you do open in the in the real world, what it costs to just open the doors with you know, we talk about that with us as well. Michelle, you're a general manager of, that's your official title, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So general manager, which means you run the place. Your history has been in theater and all aspects of the theater. So now you're, like you said, you're going back to being the cook, bottle, dishwasher, even though there's not that happening. But so what it costs is to open the doors, just the air conditioning alone.
Well, actually, we haven't been able to turn it on.
Right.
We actually have a little mini split in the front office, and that's what Todd and I use. We have literally shut the breakers off to everything else in the building. And I think last month our bill was like $1,100 or $1,200, and like
with everything shut off.
With everything shut off.
But your air conditioners have to keep going, right?
Just the one little one. But we did have something in there. We had a meeting or something that came in for like 30 minutes. We used the lobby, turned on some lights, turned on the air in there. One day for about 30 minutes, $500 demand charge.
Wow.
So people don't realize
no.
Our entire bill was like $1,100 or $1,200. Like $600 of that was just like Todd and I in the office doing things. $500 of that was a demand charge for one day for like less than an hour. So, you know, that's just the way the rates work around here. And that is really damaging, you know, and I'm sure other groups are dealing with it. I'm sure churches deal with it. Anybody who doesn't use a lot and then turns things on, boom, you're hit. It's $20 a kilowatt. If you didn't know that, $20
so
a kilowatt.
What is your average? What's your average electric bill, would you say, when you guys are open?
Oh, my goodness.
It's got to be into the thousands.
It's many thousands.
This is
yeah.
why I think it's important.
A month.
Yeah. Because
a month. Yeah.
That's why it's important for people to understand what it costs to open a theater and run a theater. And we have, you know, many of us have been very involved with helping to restore the Cascade. And it's such a jewel of our downtown area that we want to see it thrive. We didn't bring in the great experts from around the world to help revive the Cascade for it to fall in disarray. So right now we're just kind of going through bandaging the moments until we can open up again to the grandeur as it always is when you walk into the Cascade.
Yeah, I mean, we have to have enough things going on to spread that, you know, electric bill over the entire month, because otherwise, like I said, you're getting hit with those demand charges. So we have to bring in things that make sense, that will make enough money to justify that. If it can't, then I hate to say it, but, you know, we're better off financially to do nothing. And that's not what we're here for, you know. That's not what we're here for.
You can't do things like, you know, the Cascade Theater, as Linda said, has been, you know, like a focal point for so many things for so many years. You know, first the theater, then movies, and then completely restoring this beautiful theater. And, you know, you were getting a lot of the good acts coming through there. It's a place that, you know, of course, the Christmas shows, local shows go on there. and then be hip with this. And then, but you want to maintain. We want to maintain the cascade, and make sure it's ready. So when this craziness lifts, that
yeah, we'll, and know, we have to have money to put that. Aside yeah. to pay to start paying artists. You know, they're starting to book stuff for like fall of 2021 and into spring of 2022. But we have to have the money to pay these people, guarantees and deposits and right. things. So that's what we're trying to do, with fundraising, since we have no other income really right now, is maintain the building, do what we can, as we start to open up. Maybe we can do some films and things like that, some smaller things.
Right.
Rent it out to somebody who maybe needs to do a photo shoot or something like that. We've done a couple of little things.
Well, let's take a break on that note. We're going to come right back here. This is Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott on this Wednesday edition, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This portion of the show is brought to you by Estate Granite. Mike Huber, owner of Estate Granite, creator of Estate Granite, does beautiful work. You would not believe. You just give him your key, tell him what you want. Go in. He's got a great showroom. You might want to call 241-STONE. That's 241-STONE. That's estategranite.com. We'll be right back with Michelle Irvine, who is the general manager of the Cascade Theater, and we'll talk more about how you can help get through these times with the Cascade Theater and their match campaign. We'll be right back.
Exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Go with Mazzano.
Mark Mazzano is a 28-year veteran of the California Highway Patrol who retired with honors.
Go with Mazzano.
Mark's a proven organizational leader in law enforcement who led by example and got things done.
Go with Mazzano.
This is a new voice for Redding City Council who, unlike others, will work the job full-time.
Go with Mazzano.
My name is Mark Mazzano, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark B. Mazzano, Council Member, City of Redding.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and over-regulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by drop box. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
The Bathroom and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
When I see our current representatives taking money from special interests, I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Redding. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us, not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 143306.
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is your talk radio. So happy to be here on this, well, some would call it Hump Day Wednesday. And a rest in peace. The gentleman who is singing right now by the name of...
Johnny Nash.
That's it.
Along with Eddie Van Zalen. Or, you know,
Van Halen,
I'm sorry,
that's
Van
right.
Halen.
Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen. He's been. I didn't realize that he's been fighting cancer for years, and mouth cancer. And but what a guitar god he was.
Yeah, totally. He was one of those. Keith Urban did a wonderful tribute to him. I was reading. I was up very early this morning. Well, Michelle Irvine, who is the general manager of the Cascade Theater, is with us this morning. We're going to be talking in a little bit, but we do have a caller on the phone, another fabulous keyboard player, somebody who's been very involved with the arts, and also with Piano Angels, is Pat Karch.
Hey, good morning, Linda. Good morning, Carl and Michelle. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Pat.
Hey, I was going to offer up a solution. I don't know if it's been tried at the Cascade, but we use it in other facilities regarding the demand charge. And, of course, demand, you know, charge, there has to be a charge for that because at any given time they have to have the capacity to, you know, offer the greatest amount of electrical current that's going to be needed. However, you could possibly get your air conditioning guy to have your units stagger on. That would be one every 15 minutes or one every 5 minutes or something like that, and lower that demand by not having them all come on at once.
Yeah, we actually are working with RU to come up with options. Sadly, the units are basically as old as the theater has, you know, since it's been renovated, so a lot of that stuff is not programmable like it should be. So that is an upgrade we do need to do to get better programmability for those things. So, again, it takes money. So.
Right, yeah. Even programmable thermostats, perhaps, or something like that. But it can be done, so that would be certainly one way to lower that.
Well, I appreciate the input. We definitely are looking into all options to be as energy efficient as possible. LED lighting, you know, everywhere we can, those kinds of things. RU has been, I have to say, in spite of the fact that we really hate that, you know, demand charge, they have been incredibly supportive and helpful in you know, helping us analyze the usage and all of that. It is just one of those things that we have to deal with at this point, so.
Yes, you guys are a great facility, and we appreciate the work you do in the community.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
We look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Pat.
You bet. Have a good day.
All right, buddy. Pat was going to be playing, you know, Saturday night, but he also runs up all of the audiovisual, everything you could possibly want with staging and stuff for RSA, Art School of the Arts. So he's knowledgeable with those things as well. Great guy. Anyway, let's talk about why we've got the remaining time with you here. Let's talk about the matching campaign one more time. People, if you're looking to support something and you love the Cascade, of course, we don't have Cascade Christmas this year and some of these things, but we need to keep the building alive to thrive.
We do, so that we can reopen and so that we can have money to book you know, shows as just as soon as we can get them back. You know, sadly, Matilda had to be postponed indefinitely. The rights for streaming were not made available. That show was 4 days away from opening. I mean, such a crushing blow to the cast and everything that worked so, so hard. But everybody's still hopeful we'll be able to, you know, do it again before too long. Because it's ready. I mean, it's sitting in the warehouse, ready to go, you know, and Eileen is ready to pull the cast back together. So as soon as we can, it'll probably be one of the first things that we do. But, you know, we have to have the funds and have everything ready to go. So, you know, McConnell stepped up and said, hey, we have an idea. You know, let's do this. You know, we want to support you and we think we can start something. Now, people may say, well, $5,000 isn't a big deal. Well, it's not, but we're not stopping there. That's just sort of the catalyst to get things going. We're already, as of last night, 90% to goal. So,
wow. Okay.
We are very, very close to reaching that 5,000, and then we'll probably be, you know, adding another increment. You know, we're not stopping there.
Right, so let's tell people how they can go online, how what they can mail, what they
wouldn't
can do.
Wouldn't that be great? Okay, just give me a second here because we got 5 minutes left here. Because I first time realized, I mean, I knew your electric bill had to be big. I didn't realize how big. It would be great if we could have the local artist volunteer their time and you open up for one night and fill up the Cascade at $20 a ticket.
When we can fill it up, we're still not, you know, allowed to have anybody.
Well, yes, you can, because we're protesting the fact that Cascade Theater is shut down. This is a peaceful protest. We'll wear our mask. There are no rules for protest. You know that. The state of California has said it officially. There's no rules for protest. So we have a local protest at the Cascade Theater. We fill up the seats. Local bands and performers. Entertain everybody for 2 hours, and boom, you get out of there.
I'm open to it. I know. It's what we can do. I never thought of it.
Well,
you know?
They just had a protest out at Benton Air Park, and it looks like the old Benton Air show, but it's not. It was a protest for people that wanted to see classic cars and airplanes. So you're just saying we're having a peaceful protest at the Cascade Theater, and it only costs you $20 to protest. You know, I'd go for that.
Okay, now if you go to CascadeTheater.org, right?
Yes, it's on Facebook. It's on CascadeTheater.org. Right. There's a donate button take you to – it's on GoFundMe charity.
Okay.
So you can find it there, or you can find it on our Facebook or on our website. And we really want to thank, you know, the McConnell Foundation and especially Rachel Hatch. She is such a gem herself.
She's
we are
amazing.
So lucky to have her. What is it they say in Jerry Maguire? You are our ambassador of Kwan, Rachel Hatch, if you're listening.
She's great.
We couldn't Rachel do this Hatch. Without you.
Rachel Hatch is a barn burner.
Yeah,
let
she's
me tell
a
you,
burn, yeah.
You know what? She did. McConnell Foundation doesn't always make great decisions, like everybody. But when they hired Rachel, boom. That was a huge decision.
She's really in tune with what's going on.
I didn't mean
tremendous
it. I didn't mean
support.
It badly. I'm just saying they're like everybody. They don't always make right decisions, but in this case, they hit the bell.
Well, when you look at the CascadeTheater.org, you've got a wonderful page that comes up that when you're donating about what the Cascade brings. 4.1 million added to Reading economy every year. This is when it's in full swing in concerts. 131 full-time jobs supported by the Cascade and its guests. 60% increase at downtown businesses on Cascade show nights. That's huge. Hundreds of thousands in state and local tax revenue from the guests who go out and buy things when they're going to the theater. 10,000 hotel guests a year from out-of-town Cascade Theater patrons. 15,000 students a year attend our educational programs. 200,000 raised by Cascade Theater artists for car fire recovery. 150 local events a year, less 30 nights for touring shows, and on and on. So you want to see this because these are the wonderful things that a downtown theater such as the Cascade brings to our community. Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle Irvine, who is the general manager of the Cascade Theater. And donate now so that you can match the $5,000 They're almost there.
We're almost there.
And plus, for to help out the Cascade Theater during these times. Thank you.
We'll be right back with Reading Police Chief Bill Shuler.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Federal health officials have given Vice President Pence the green light to take part in the Salt Lake City debate with Democrat Kamala Harris tonight. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
Following President Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis, Vice President Pence faced questions about whether he should be at the debate at all. But the head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has determined it's safe for the vice president to be on stage with Senator Harris. The White House says Pence has tested negative and is in good health.
That's White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Hurricane Delta has made landfall south of Cancun, Mexico.
The system is very likely to produce a life-threatening storm surge, a significant wind event, potential for flooding rainfall across portions of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, even up into Tennessee over the next few days.
That's Daniel Brown at the National Hurricane Center. President Trump now walking back his decision to hold off on any new coronavirus stimulus until after the election. More on that from correspondent Mike Grazia.
Hours after shutting down talks with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on additional COVID-19 relief until after the election, President Donald Trump backtracked. Trump took to Twitter Tuesday night and called for Congress to send him a standalone bill for stimulus checks. Trump tweeted, "I am ready to sign right now. Are you listening, Nancy?" The president also called on Congress to immediately approve $25 billion for airlines and $135 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program to help small businesses. Earlier Tuesday, Trump had tweeted that Pelosi was not negotiating in good faith, and he asked Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to focus on confirming Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Things are booming on Wall Street in early trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average right now up by 420 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Let's say you've decided to build a bicycle from scratch. Sounds like an impossible project for my skills, but let's say you've got the skills and I offer you an advantage, a special tool that would help you build the bike faster while saving you legitimate money. My guess is you'd say, bring it on. If you wouldn't, well, then this commercial isn't going to make much sense. My name is Ryan. I'm from United Faith Mortgage, and we believe we have an advantageous tool for you. Our mortgage team is lucky to have a direct lender advantage. Our company is set up to use its own money and make its own lending decisions within its own walls. And often, this advantage allows us to get your refinance or new home loan done faster and get you a better rate, which saves you monthly and lifelong money. Rates are historically low. Now is the time to see how our special tool might work for you. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rec animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
A computer hacker who gave the Islamic State terrorist group the personal data of more than 1,300 U.S. government and military personnel will remain in federal prison after a judge rejected his request for compassionate release.
24-year-old Ardit Parisi is serving a 20-year sentence. The Kosovo native is the first person convicted in the U.S. of both computer hacking and terrorism charges. He's scheduled for release in 2032. Parisi says his health issues put him at greater risk of contracting COVID-19. A judge rejected his request at a hearing, citing concerns he might resume hacking if released.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. The U.S. Justice Department has asked the nation's highest court to review the case of Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, whose death sentence was thrown out over concerns with the jury selection process. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell warned on Tuesday that while strong financial support from the government and the Fed have spurred a solid recovery from the pandemic recession, the rebound could falter without further aid. In a speech with the National Association for Business Economics, Powell said there is a risk that reopening gains could also turn into a long slog if safety protocols are not followed.
Managing this risk as the expansion continues will require following medical experts' guidance, including using masks and social distancing measures.
And he spoke yesterday in a forum for the National Association of Business Economics. Facebook is ramping up its editorial censorship. The world's largest social networking site is removing posts that represent QAnon and its beliefs, even if they do not promote violence. QAnon is a theory that paints President Trump as a secret fighter against the so-called deep state. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. It is the 7th of October, and Linda and I are here with on Hump Day. Which you've, I'm sorry if you're just tuning in, you missed it. You missed. Hey, what day is it? Quink. You missed it.
Well, in earlier hours, we had a listener one time complain about it. So we kind of, we took it off, our Wednesday show for a while. And every now and then I like to be bothered by that moose. Is it a moose?
It's a camel.
No. You look in the mirror and you think it's a camel, but it's really a moose. Okay, 57 degrees in the downtown studios currently. We are going to have a hazy day today. It's what the forecast calls for, 91 degrees. Overnight lows of 53. Partly sunny tomorrow with our high of 81. Overnight lows of 51. And mostly sunny Friday with 78. Overnight lows of 53. Now, Saturday calls for a chance of showers with 68. Chance of showers and mostly cloudy with overnight lows of 48. And mostly sunny on Sunday with a 73. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
The reason we're laughing here is it's not really funny to the person involved in this. But we, of course, you're one of our favorite guests, Reading Police Chief Bill Schuller. And across the street from us, in hiding, is a motorcycle policeman. Well, he's gone now.
Oh, so that means he gave a ticket. He's after somebody.
But he's driving a pink motorcycle.
He hides back there behind those stairs.
And what he does is he just sits there, and he never sits there longer than 3 minutes. I think I saw one guy there for 5 minutes. He was checking his watch, and he walked out and looked down and says, "Is that stoplight still going?" He gets people for no seatbelts or on the phone.
Ooh.
Sometimes for running the red light, which is it's a double trouble because you've already gotten the traffic camera on you at that point. But if you're not wearing the seatbelt or you're on your phone, you're going to be stopped. And it's bad enough being stopped by a policeman for that anyway. But when they're riding a pink motorcycle and you're pulled over with your F-150 jacked up truck, guns are good on the back. I mean, and then you have to sit there trying to hide your face because he comes up off the pink motorcycle.
Well, welcome.
Wearing a pink helmet. Yes.
Is he wearing a pink helmet?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. No, a pink helmet. I love it because this month. And with us again is Bill Schuller, who's our chief of police. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
And it is October, which is, of course, Think Pink, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, always in October. And you've got what do you call these? They're your side stickers.
Yeah, patches.
Patches that go on the side of your shirt are outlined in pink. And the four organizations have come together.
Yeah, it's great. We all the law enforcement agencies up here, the marshal's office, uniformed agencies anyway, the marshal's office, Anderson PD, sheriff's office, and us all got together on this project. We're calling it the Pink Patch Project. CHP's done this for a long time, so we're kind of just copying their lead. But yeah, so we all had these patches made, and Signorama donated the patches, so they didn't cost the taxpayers a dollar. And then we're selling these patches, $10 each, or $35 for the set of four, and all the proceeds go to NorCal Think Pink. And
That's great.
Yep. And then Cinerama wrapped a motorcycle for us, and Eddie's helmet, Officer Gilmet's helmet, and a police car, and then they wrapped patrol cars from each of the all four agencies. So
if people don't really focus on that, it's October and it's Think Pink Month, and a pink motorcycle pulls them over, or partially
wearing
pink,
a pink helmet.
They're
going to
say, okay, I'm being punked. Where's the camera?
Right.
You know, like, no, you're not real. Where are you going to break out in song and dance? You're pretty
soon. Or a pink car comes up behind you with the lights going, and you go, this is somebody. No, this can't be real. And then all of a sudden, there's a low speed chase of 25 miles per hour through the streets of Reading, while the person is looking in his rearview mirror, going, "This can't be real." And there, now he gets on his phone to call the police. There's somebody in a pink car trying to pull me over.
Oh,
so then
gosh,
they get him for being on his phone.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we'd do that, but 911's exempt. But we have a lot of other cars, different colors that we could back them up quickly.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Not a problem. But we've never had an issue with the pink cars and enforcement details. It's never been a problem. So, yeah.
By the way, Dr. Pamela DeNuca, Pace Cancer Center, is going to join us here in the next week or so
talk
about it. Because during the you have a 98% chance, my friends, of surviving breast cancer if it's caught early. This is one of the three: cervical cancer, colon cancer, and breast cancer. That you can be, not just the self checks, but after the age of 40, having a professional, the mammograms, having a professional examine your breast to make sure there's nothing in there that could be causing you problems. Like I said, if you catch it early, it's got a 98% survival rate here.
Right, and that's our whole point of, public safety is our mission. And I still think breast cancer awareness is a public safety mission. So that's why we're involved in it. It's about awareness. It's about people knowing that early detection can save your life. And that's why we get involved. It gets that awareness out there. We promote it on social media. We did a press conference yesterday. And then it helps a fundraiser for NorCal Think Pink, who, like every other nonprofit right now, is suffering. So this helps them out a little bit.
Well, tell about the rodeo and the Think Pink group there.
Yes, absolutely. We do the Chicks and Chaps, and of course this year it was canceled, but it's been going every year, and it's amazing. It's a fundraiser for that very issue, and the girls were pink, and we all bid on belt buckles and much, much more, but it's a great organization that happens during Rodeo Week. But I want to give you a compliment.
Oh, thank you.
I just have to say that with everything that's been going on with, law enforcement, and you always come to the station, and when I see you out on the street and in public, you remain with a optimistic disposition.
You have to, you have to in this business. Focus on the positive and not on the negative. Otherwise, who would do this job? And you have to remember, our overall mission is a good thing. We're out there to help the public and protect folks, and so that's what we look forward to, and that's what helps us sleep at night. And then the negative stuff, you just deal with them. Let it roll off your back as much as you can.
Well, that has to take, I'm sorry, just let me just finish up with that thought, is that, that takes a concerted effort, I'm sure, in your training through all your years of how many years now in law enforcement?
Almost 27.
Okay, 27 years, and it's a hammering job.
Sure. Physically and mentally.
Physically and mentally, especially these days.
Yeah.
So it's like being, when you train, like a, let's say, a bodybuilder, hypothetically, or a doctor, and you see, like, crazy things as a doctor, and how you become, like, you have a thicker skin, or, you're able to look past it and see the good, or see the miracle in it,
right?
Because we need law enforcement. So whatever anybody else says, we just want you to know we back you, and we appreciate you. We need you. It's a vital part of our community.
We all appreciate it. Wellness for police officers has really evolved over the last 20 years, especially in my career. When I first started, it was kind of on the cusp. People were talking about it, but it wasn't really addressed, kind of like in the military. There just wasn't that thought process that we need to take care of our own staff mentally and physically. And it's really, like I said, it's evolved, it's changed. We now have peer support teams within the police department that take care of our officers. And we have everything from you know, alcohol rehabilitation to all of those things that are necessary to, for an officer to survive. We have chaplains within our program. So it's really, really changed over the years, and I think we do a much better job of taking care of our people. For example, in the Zog fire, we had officers that were doing evacuations that saw burned up bodies, unfortunately, for people that were unable to evacuate and didn't survive. And that's a traumatic experience. I don't care how long you've been doing this job, but seeing something like that, especially a child, is traumatic. So we always reach out through our peer support program back to those officers to make sure that they're okay and see if there's any resources they need. So that's always an important aspect of this job. And then the other thing, something I've said throughout my career, is you can't just have friends that are cops. You can't just only talk to cops, because then you have that same jaded personality and point of view all the time. So it's really important to reach out into the community and have friends and people that you can trust to talk to outside of this business. It's an important aspect.
I think it is, too. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. This is Shasta Regional Medical Center has a Da Vinci surgical suite. This is a robotic suite that enables your surgeon to perform minimally invasive surgery. What's that mean? Less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. Former inpatient surgery is now outpatient surgery. Only at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. Shasta Regional Medical Center. 8:16 in the morning. We'll be right back with Reading Police Chief Bill Schuler.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commerce Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, health care, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 143306.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. They're open for business even under these conditions, because they met all the conditions before with, bringing in one customer at a time, sanitation, all that kind of stuff. Plus, you get a great, great haircut from a veteran-owned business that gives discounts from seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 244-9478, Man's Last Stronghold. We're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Shuler. He comes in every month about this time. Sometimes he sends in some of his other guys, too. But we learn, we get a good snapshot of what's happening in our city right now. One of the propositions that people are voting on is to do away with bail. This is Proposition 25. If you vote yes on this, you're doing away with bail. Vote no on it, and you keep the system the way it is. Your thoughts on this, Chief?
Well, we tried it. The California Judicial Council, when COVID first hit, so back in May, it was either April or May, they tried it for 90 days to see what it would be like. And in my opinion, I thought it was a disaster. We would book somebody in the jail. We already have issues with the jail as far as overcrowding. We could talk about how the sheriff has 188 state-sentenced prison inmates in his jail right now. But we always have that issue with overcrowding. And now when you add this no bail on there, it doesn't overcrowding doesn't really matter. You could have a bunch of space in a jail, and we did at the time, and people were still getting out. And what happens is they get evaluated, and their ability to pay for bail is part of that evaluation process, and then they get released and then can go out and commit more crimes. So there's no – it just once again reduces the accountability. What little accountability we have after Prop 47, 57, and AB 109, now you're taking away even more accountability and holding people accountable. There is a bail system in place for a reason, and folks that are indigent that can't afford bail, there are ways to do that. And the judges look at that. Let a judge examine a person in an arraignment and make that decision on their own without some sort of algorithm to make that determination.
And that's just what's going to happen is computer algorithms, which could work against the person that is arrested, where, they for whatever these algorithms are, whoever writes them and puts it in there, I mean, this could work against people that ordinarily might get, might not have to even post bail. This could work against them, and people don't realize that. And if you look at the system, our computer system in the state of California, that's crashed with EDD, crashed with the
DMV,
and think about how many million, I don't know how many people are arrested, but many more are arrested than go to court. Just think of all of those hundreds of thousands of people being arrested. What if it crashes the system? Well, and it crashes it for days. Now, a person that would have been out on bail is now stuck in jail.
Right.
So you've got to have a system that works, and this one seems to be working.
We already have people that don't show up for court dates as it is because of the reduction in sentences and crimes. And then you take away that one little bit of that financial accountability by bail for to not show up to court, and now you've really given nobody a reason to come to court at all and be held accountable for the crime. So I think the way that is written, I wouldn't be in support of that. I think we need to stick with what we have or try and work to make it better, but not throw it out.
Okay.
Start from new.
Proposition 20 tries to do is it takes Prop 47, 57, and AB 109, and it tries to close certain disparities in the law and
right.
these, that were just horrible. When you find out all the things that were considered not felonies, I mean, it's anywhere from shooting at somebody, believe it or not, to throwing acid on somebody. That's not a felony, plus many others. When you sexual assault, abusing children, none of these fall under the felonies anymore.
So some of these cases, what Prop 20 does is a lot of these crimes are not considered classified as violent crimes when it comes to determining someone's parole status, whether they should let them out of prison early. It's not categorized as a violent crime, such as rape of an unconscious woman. That is not considered violent under the current law. That Proposition 20 helps fix that. It also helps fix the property crime issues that we've all seen since Prop 47. The retail theft is really off the charts. And we have business owners that have someone walk in and steal $949 worth of stuff, walk out the door, often unchallenged because of the liability that these business owners face, and then come back in an hour later and steal another $949 or go to another store. And what Proposition 20 tries to do is it makes those serial shoplifters held accountable through a felony prosecution, which is something we used to have before prior to Prop 47. So that's another good change. I would encourage everybody to read Prop 20. You can go to keepcaliforniasafe.org. This bill is co-sponsored by the California police chiefs and all the law enforcement organizations in California. So take a look at it, read it, and vote with your conscience.
Well, you know, I'll just say it. Vote yes on Prop 20 because it closes those loopholes. How much money is it costing our local businesses for shoplifting? And there are shoplifting rings out there. Just don't think of it as some poor old person coming in off the street and taking a can of Coke. No, these are people that are organized that will come in and steal literally millions of dollars over the time of a year.
Sure.
As long as they keep it under $920
$950.
Or $950, they will they walk on it.
Yeah, they go into. They go into Best Buy, they go into Target, they'll steal a TV that's worth $900 or less or $950 or less and walk out the door unchallenged. And it's an unfortunate aspect. So we want to be able to prosecute those folks and hold those folks accountable, and Prop 20 will help us do that.
Yeah, it's not doing away with 4757 or AB 109. It's not doing away with it. It's closing loopholes. It's making things fairer for the taxpayers. So Prop 20 is definitely a yes vote. Okay, we're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Schuller. We're going to take an early break and come back and talk about what's happening in our town. And as far as crime, the impact COVID's had on the police department and just on the system itself, especially since we're going back up into the red area. Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA 2 Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance, as well as community education services. PSA 2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA 2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA 2 HICAP services for more information. 530-223-0999.
5309 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living Policy.
What is community? A location? A place to live and work? Or is it something more profound? A force deeper than words can describe, uniting us to reach out and support each other. No matter the trial or circumstance, we are one. Shasta Regional Medical Center is proud to stand strong with our community. We know we can get through anything when we do it together. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce believes that the health of business is the most important factor in a strong, vibrant community. This is Jake Mangus, Chamber President and CEO. We work closely with local elected officials to ensure their policy decisions take into account the business perspective. That's why the Chamber puts its name behind candidates representing our community that best exemplify what our members care about. I'm pleased to announce the Chamber's local ticket for the upcoming election. The Chamber's Board of Directors gives its full endorsement to Assemblywoman Megan Dolly for re-election in California's 1st Assembly District. At the county level, the Chamber supports Supervisor Steve Morgan for re-election in District 4. And in the city of Reading, the Chamber supports Mayor Adam McElvain and former Mayor Julie Winter for City Council. Say it with me, Dolly, Morgan, McElvain, Winter. Help us re-elect this slate of business-friendly candidates by casting your ballot this fall.
This ad was not authorized by a candidate or a committee controlling the candidate, paid for by the Reading Chamber Political Action Committee.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the Breakfast Combo Family Meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the Chicken Fried Steak Family Meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry-out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
And welcome back to our Wednesday edition here on Free Fire Radio. KCNR, yes.
This portion
rest
of the show.
In peace, Eddie Van Halen.
In memory of.
Yep.
I didn't know it was him.
Well, not the singer, but the guitar.
Right. I hate this portion of the show brought to you by somebody that really likes Eddie Van Halen, and that's Mike Huber over at Estate Granite. He's been in this business for custom altering homes, putting in kitchens, bathrooms, all different types of ways of making your home better. He's a local guy. He's been doing this for over 16 years. He's the one that provided this quartz table for us in our studios. It's beautiful. He put it exactly. I envisioned something. Linda took over and envisioned it better. And it came out just beautiful. But that's exactly what he'll do with your home. He's the kind of guy you trust to go into your home, just give him the keys, and you can leave for 3 or 4 days, and he comes back to an actual work of art. Mike works by appointment only, so call him to set up a consultation, 241-STONE, or learn more at estategranite.com. We're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Schuler. Chief, we had somebody... shot somebody else, a local AMPM, was captured. It turns out he had been released from the jail 5 hours before that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
Sure. So this parolee, we had responded to a call for service. I believe it was a domestic violence incident, and ended up arresting him. He's on parole, recently released from prison. Booked him at the jail, and at no fault of the jail's, he was... released after 5 hours because the jail is currently overcrowded with 100. As of last night, I talked to the sheriff, 188 state sentenced prison inmates. They should be in prison, but they're not because of COVID. They're not accepting those inmates. And so almost half of our jail is full right now. And
with people already found guilty in a court trial,
yes,
and should be sitting in a prison someplace, but they're refusing to take them, so we're keeping them here in
right.
our jail, and it's actually costing us money for each one of them.
Yeah, there is some sort of reimbursement process that the county gets for those inmates that are stuck here, but it doesn't pay for the effect that has on our community and our with our folks that we can't hold accountable locally. And that's a perfect example of what happened this week on Sunday with someone being murdered in a homicide because they were let out of jail and could be held accountable. I feel really bad for those classification deputies and corrections officers at the jail that have to make these crucial decisions and who stays and who goes at really half capacity at the moment. It's an unfortunate thing that we're in, and I know the sheriff is fighting very hard. I know California State Sheriff's Association is fighting very hard, and Cal Chiefs to try and get this thing resolved and get these people back in prison or into prison where they belong, so we can hold folks accountable locally.
Well, you know, this was just I think this one was really an attention gainer because this guy's a felon. He was going to be arrested before. He was arrested. He was released, I think, in February. He's busted parole. And then now's killed somebody and then ran, so which put police in a precarious position of trying to catch this guy because he was identified. He crashed his car.
Yep.
And
in the pursuit.
Now this is exactly what we're talking about, that we've lost control of our jails, not in the interior or anything like that, but we've lost control about being able to hold people.
Right.
And it's been like this, what, 6 years?
Yeah. It's the perfect. I've used this term over and over again. It's the perfect storm. We've got laws that have changed that don't hold people accountable, including Prop 4757. Then we got AB 109 that lets people out of prison early for a variety of crimes and reasons, and sends them back to local control under probation or PRCS, has them supervised there. And then we have a jail that's packed all the time and a revolving door. And then you add on 188 as of today. State sentenced prisoners that should not be in a local jail. That jail was never ever designed or built for that kind of custodial situation. And here we are. We can't hold people accountable.
If somebody assaults his wife and also the father-in-law, he gets arrested for that. Would he be captured? Not.
It depends.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the unfortunate thing. If it's a domestic violence and there's a visible injury or traumatic condition, we would call it, like including strangulation, then that's a mandatory arrest, and we do book on those cases. And then it's up to the jail to make that determination whether that there's still that danger to the victims necessarily, whether they have the space to hold that person until they can get arraigned in court.
One of the things that I've done, and if you can do it, I recommend it, is to sit down with the guys that make that choice. Because
yeah.
They have two big stacks of files there. And he says, I've got this choice. I have somebody that breaks into homes and he steals things, but he's not violent. Then I have this violent guy who's been arrested that, you know, he's kind of a danger. So which one do I turn loose? He says, so I turn loose the one that will break into your house, steal your stuff, you know, all that, because I have to keep this guy who's violent. And it literally comes down to things like that. They have to look at the nuances almost to say, well, who's the more danger to our community?
Well, and that's this guy from Sunday. He was arrested on drug crimes, and drug crimes, despite the fact that he's on parole, drug crimes are not don't have the seriousness that they used to in the state. And so he had to be released. They had to make room for more violent people, and he got released. And unfortunately, he then went out and committed a very violent crime that ended somebody's life.
I have a statement and a question. A question in here was, what's happened at the post office on Yuba Street? It has become a meeting place or a home for dozens of homeless.
Yes.
Now, I would have said this to you and then gone, what have you done? Except yesterday, day before yesterday, you all swept through there.
Yeah, and we do several times a day. It is a problem area. We're very aware of it. We're working with the post office, the VFW down there, Union Pacific Railroad, who you'll notice they have a storage yard there. That yard is slowly diminished into a lot less stuff there. And there is something in the works to try and make an exchange for that property.
Let's hope that happens.
So that we can get some development in there and then help.
Put a parking lot
in there.
Well,
that's the first time I went to drive in between the vets hall and the library to, you know, where you drive through and you...
The post office.
At the post office. What did I say?
Library.
I mean, the post office. And that you throw your stamped or metered mail in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blocked.
Yeah.
They blocked me. And I had to wait for them to decide to open that area, which I felt like, you know, I was surrounded. My car was surrounded by people. And I thought, this is weird. It was almost like I was coming to a festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was that kind of large gathering. And I thought, okay, I just was trying to be kind and wave and smile like I just need to get over to the mailbox. And I thought, that's been a big change for me in the last 10 years of being here.
Well, we're out there. Our neighborhood police unit, as well as our community work program, are out there all the time, daily, sometimes two or three times daily, as well as Officer Brian Berg, who's our downtown day shift officer. They make that area a priority, and they go through there. And you'll see those folks with orange bags. Those orange bags are given to them by us because we arrest them and take their stuff, and then they come into the police department, get their stuff in an orange bag, and they take that orange bag, and then you'll see those orange bags there. So you know they've been arrested. And they hang out there because they're in close proximity to the courthouse, to the jail, to probation.
To the post office where they get their SSI.
Where there are resources or things that they need. And we're working, I mean, we're actually going to make some changes to our municipal code. I was looking at that with Barry DeWalt this week or last week because we were talking about our sit-lie ordinance doesn't apply to that one little stretch of sidewalk right there because of the changes to the downtown specific plan. So we're going to make some changes there. We do cite people for blocking the sidewalk in that location. And we do as much as we can under the law.
Well, you came through there. I tell you, the person that I talked to is Randy, the hot dog guy. He's been there for years, and
yeah.
He knows everybody. He has a great relationship with our usual homeless there. I mean, some of them help him, you know, get set up and all that for a Coke.
Yeah.
He says what he's noticed, and I've noticed he's changed.
His disposition.
His eyes are always on the move.
Yeah.
He said these guys, a lot of them are coming in from jail. They've got
They
come in with the jail tats, the jail haircuts. He says this has changed down here, and you're right. They were blocking the sidewalk, but I was like 2 days ago. Some of your officers were there, and they were talking to the people. And then yesterday, the place was almost empty.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
They get the word, but it'll take them a few days before they move back.
It's just one of those things where if we had the resources and staff to be down here all the time, that they would get tired of being
harassed.
Well, I don't like to use that word.
Okay, exactly.
They would.
Let's retract that word.
They would get tired of having law enforcement officers enforcing the law all the time if we had the resources to do that. And that's something we're working on. We're working on with the city manager and city council, and I'm hopeful that by the first part of next year, we may at least be able to begin the hiring process to get a downtown unit for four officers down here.
Well, that was just a question here. The possibility of cost of putting two walking police officers in a downtown area just to patrol.
Yep.
And
so
that's just what you were talking about.
That's what
about.
We're talking about. So we are going to, we have that new downtown office that's going to open this, it's kind of soft opening this week, and then we're going to, it's not going to be fully staffed, but MPU will work out of there. The crisis intervention response team that we've talked about that we're trying to build is going to operate out of there. And then if we're able to get these four officers after the first of the year, then they'll operate out of there, and they'll be 7 days a week on bicycles, on foot, not in patrol cars. They will be.
Well, that's great.
They will be in downtown and our parks and our trails.
Okay, we have to take a break, but just quickly here. Never mind. We'll catch that. Oh, how do people get the patches? Somebody just asked me.
Oh, yes. So you can get the patches.
These, and these are, if you're just tuning in, these are limited edition patches.
Yes.
That are the Redding Police, Shasta County Sheriff's, Anderson Police, and the Superior Court Marshal Service, who these are pink patches.
Right.
And suitable for framing. How do they get those?
So they, you can buy them at any of our departments. All four of those agencies are selling them. You get them at Signorama. They are $10 a patch or $35 for the set of four. And, again, all proceeds go to NorCal Think Pink, and the patches were donated by Signorama.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody knows more about repairing windshields than Jeff Wurst. He's been doing this for two decades. He has been going, he has gone through a number of schools. He is truly from the old school of craft workmanship. He doesn't want anything to happen to your family. That's why he makes sure that when he fixes your windshield, it is fixed, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 24 inches in length. Jeff Wurst can fix it. He guarantees it for life. Give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today, or just stop by 3208 South Market Street. We'll be right back after these messages. 59 degrees, 8:45 in the morning.
Rolling down a backwoods Tennessee byway, one arm on the wheel, holding my lover with the other, a sweet, soft southern thrill. Worked hard all week, got a little jingle.
Get your morning update with us,
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-3306.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. From 2006 to 2014, I served on the Redding City Council, and most of those years, I also sat on the Indian Gaming Local Community Benefit Committee. Through the Redding Rancheria, we donated millions of dollars to the City of Redding, Shasta County, and many special districts. This much-needed money was allocated for things like the Redding Fire Department's ladder truck, and positions in the Sheriff's Office, and positions in the DA's Office. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and this is why I support the tribe. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
The Redding Chamber of Commerce believes that the health of business is the most important factor in a strong, vibrant community. This is Jake Mangus, Chamber President and CEO. We work closely with local elected officials to ensure their policy decisions take into account the business perspective.
That's why the Chamber puts its name behind candidates representing our community that best exemplify what our members care about. I'm pleased to announce the Chamber's local ticket for the upcoming election. The Chamber's Board of Directors gives its full endorsement to Assemblywoman Megan Dolly for re-election in California's 1st Assembly District. At the county level, the Chamber supports Supervisor Steve Morgan for re-election in District 4. And in the City of Reading, the Chamber supports Mayor Adam McElvain and former Mayor Julie Winter for City Council. Say it with me, Dolly, Morgan, McElvain, Winter. Help us re-elect this slate of business-friendly candidates by casting your ballot this fall.
This ad was not authorized by a candidate or a committee controlling the candidate, paid for by the Reading Chamber Political Action Committee.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, our last segment today. Wednesday, the 7th of October, 8:50 in the morning, 60 degrees out there. It's going to go all the way up to 90 today, but it seems to be cooling off. Tomorrow will be down to 81. And Friday and Saturday actually might have a chance of rain.
It's time to pull the sweaters out and change the closet.
Whoa,
for sure.
It is. Hey, we're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Schuler, and let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Just wanted to let the chief know and everybody know that there is a new flag that will be coming into Science Stations. Erica Nelson, as you know, who does such great work with We Back the Blue, this flag is the law enforcement support flag, and it has on it, defend, don't defund.
Oh, I like that.
I like it.
And so I'll leave one there for you, chief, so you guys have one for your station. I'll also get one for Anderson and for the Sheriff's Department. So I'll leave those there when I give them their order, but they'll be out in stores, and we'll be announcing where they are.
Awesome.
Great. Thanks a lot, Terry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You bet. Okay. By the way, the guy that arrested the border supervisor, or did a citizen's arrest on the border supervisors, will be on one of our shows this weekend. I think he's going to be on Terry's show, State of Jefferson, but don't quote me on that. Take a look on the – it is either State of Jefferson, Sovereign Minds, one of those two shows. So explain why he did it. We've asked him to come on the show, and right now we're just trying to work out a time. We've also asked Steve Morgan to come back on the show, and Steve is not going to do that. He has declined. But with Chief Bill Schuler here, you talked about something, I think, you know, about the defend, not defund. One of the things that keeps, you know, that's been brought up that you've addressed before is putting together a team that can talk people off the ledge that will be there with mental help. Can you explain about that?
Yeah,
because you were meeting last
right,
last time you were meeting.
We're taking baby steps forward. It's good to see some progress. In fact, it was on the council agenda last night to order some new cars, and one of the cars that we're ordering is for that program. So it is a crisis intervention response team. It's a joint effort between the sheriff's office, my office, public health, mental health, and Anderson Police Department is going to participate as well. And we're going to have a crisis intervention response team made up of two officers and a clinician from either mental health or Hill Country. I don't think that's been worked out yet. And their job will be to respond to crisis incidents in the entire Reading Basin. So that's everywhere from Shasta Lake City down to Happy Valley, Anderson, obviously the city of Reading, Palisadero to the east. They'll be in an unmarked car. They'll be in plain clothes. Body armor and weapons will be concealed. They'll have advanced crisis intervention training, more than the 40 hours our current officers already go through. And their job will be to respond to any of those crisis intervention incidents that Hill Country necessarily can't handle. So somebody that's suicidal, you know, with a weapon of some sort, they'll be the primary responder and backup units as they need them. But their job will be to try and de-escalate that situation and try and get that person the help that they need. And with the resources that we'll have with mental health in the vehicle with us,
That's a great idea. When you brought this up last time, this is something that we had talked about in the past, because so many people out there do have mental problems. The jail ends up being a mental health facility, and then having somebody like this, I mean, your officers know most of the people out there by the first name, but still having somebody there when this person has gone over the edge.
Yeah, it's going to be very helpful. And the other thing we've done is, and we've talked about how much of a benefit Hill Country is, but Hill Country is expanding as well. And so that what we're working on right now is they will respond to certain calls where there is no threat of violence, but let's say somebody is talking about suicide without a means or a method. They'll be able to respond to that call by themselves and call us as needed. So we're getting them a police radio. They're hiring staff to go to 7 days a week, and so they'll be able to handle those. And then the ones that are have more risk to that person or to our staff will be handled by the crisis intervention response team. And it's baby steps. We're going to start off with a deputy and an RPD officer and the clinician working 4 days a week. And then if the program works and we're successful, then we'll try and expand that, add an Anderson police officer, add another Reading officer or another sheriff's deputy, and try and make that a 7 day a week of coverage.
Okay. I think that answers some of the questions that people have about what are you doing to, you know, because of the problems we have with mental health and people on the street.
Right.
And if it works, depending, I guess, on the numbers of mentally impaired people out there, you could always add people to
this. Right. And we did an analysis, and I don't have it with me, but we get plenty of calls for service between our three agencies to make that two-man unit or three, that one car, the initial car, very, very busy. So we'll see how that goes. Most of our calls occur during the swing shift hours, so that probably works some sort of swing shift, noon to 10, something like that. So I'm excited about it. I think it's a great thing for our community. I'm looking forward to it kicking off. I'm hoping by the end of the year we have all of our MOUs and contracts worked out,
next year with something like this.
This is all about moving forward, and that's what we're talking about. Using our existing resources, finding sources of money elsewhere. Again, we'll apply for the COPS grant depending on who the president is and what that COPS grant looks like next January. Hopefully we can apply for that. Maybe that'll help fund some more officers downtown in our parks. We'll see what we can do, but always looking for opportunities to make our community safer.
How is the police department doing on recruiting? It's tough out there.
It is tough. We have, for the first time in a while, had a few lateral applicants. Portland is one.
I wonder why.
Yeah, Portland, Seattle, Southern California. So we're working with those folks to try and go through the background process and get them hired. You know, continue to send folks to the academy. We have two in the academy right now. But again, academy's tough. It's a long, expensive process to put someone through the academy, and then don't know how they're going to work out on the other end when it gets down to the real police work. So we have about a 50% success rate with academy kids.
Really?
Yeah.
So wow.
We're batting a little less than 500.
Wow. They get to the academy.
Get to the academy, and then they go through our field training programs, and then some just decide that the job's not for them, and some just have training issues that we can't resolve and we can't move past. So it's a long process to go through a hiring process from start to finish. Somebody that's never been through an academy, it's a year. Mm. And so there's a lot of opportunities for failure, but there's a lot of opportunities for success.
Okay, we've only got like about a minute left. So what do you want to hit?
Wow, throw it all at me at the end. I'll hit the patches again. Please, okay. Support NorCal Think Pink. Support breast cancer awareness. We've talked about it, I'm a cancer survivor. I know what early detection does. It's important. It'll save your life.
We're going to put a photo of these patches,
please,
onto Facebook so you can see what they are, and we'll tell people where they can buy them at.
And you can get them at the police station, at
Signorama,
and also
sheriff station. And I thought someone was breaking a window.
Yeah, our window washer just came in. We just got everybody's attention there.
Chamber of Commerce.
He almost got shot.
I'll put my gun away.
Yeah. So will Linda.
Yeah.
Anderson that's the one police. You have to worry about.
Yeah. So you can buy them at all our police departments. You can, I think the Chamber in Centerama has them. And, yeah, it goes for a good cause. So please support it and, support NorCal Think Pink.
Well, I hope that your officers all realize that there's not very many people in this town that believe in defunding the police.
It's a good thing about being up in Northern California.
Yeah.
Good. Reading Police Chief Bill Schuller.
Thank you so much.
Tomorrow we're going to have on two candidates for that run for city council at 7 o'clock, Mark Metzler, and then at 8 o'clock Adam McElvain, who is the mayor and running. So it'll be interesting to have two of them on that to hear what they want to accomplish, and part of it is going to be law and order and the homeless problem. How do we handle this? You know, we can only move them so many places. Anyway, everybody have a great day. Remember, it is the good guys against the bad guys. Richard Gere.
No, I won't back down. You can stand me up.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.